You're listening to the Fantrax Podcast Network. Fantasy sports entertainment lives here. The Nasty Cast might sound like a silly name for a show, but this is a serious fantasy baseball podcast. Okay, maybe not that serious, but these guys aren't just here to party. Here now are hosts Nathan Dockin, Van Lee, and Ron Rigney.
Hello and welcome to episode 234 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered, of course, by Fantrax. I'm your host, Nathan Dock, and on today's show, we've got the Podcast League live draft in store for you. It is going to be a complete disaster. I'm here for it. I'm excited. And joining me for this endeavor is, he's decked out in his Rays gear. It's Ron Rigney. What's up, Ron?
What's up, man? Watched a little bit of the preseason, the spring training part deux today. Getting fired up, man. I think it's actually going to happen. We had our doubts the whole time, and we are here. We're ready to go. I'm decked out in the Devil Rays Canseco garb. I'm ready to do this thing.
And there we go. And we've got Eric Cross over there flashing the Red Sox. Boo. What's up, Cross?
Boo is right when you look at our pitching staff. So this might be a long season for my Red Sox.
They just made an impact trade today.
They did.
I don't know if you saw that come across the wire.
Yeah. We sent you some help. You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, I forgot his name already. What was it?
Dylan Covey.
That's right. Yeah. No, man.
Yeah. Throws wicked hard. Wicked hard.
Wicked hard. Yeah, bub. Yeah. Yes, thanks for that. But we're still going to have to score like 12 runs a game to win anything this year. So, but I'm ready to mock draft. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty cake opening day matchup against Tommy Malone. So that'll be fun. in the house is resident Tommy Malone enthusiast, Van Lee. What's up, man?
Oh, you know me. I sure certainly love Tommy Malone. Well, I can't even say his name. That's how much I love the
You're
guy.
You're just so excited.
I am. You know, you pointed out before we started recording that I am beardless, and this is actually the first time in several years that I've fully shaved off the beard. And by the way, this is one day right here. That's what this is. What I did is I always trim it with a little electric trimmer. Everyone wants to hear about this, so hold tight. And I always, there are little guards that come with it. Except I always use, if there's four guards, I use number two. Well, for some reason, I grabbed number one. So it looked like I'd taken golf divots out of my face. And I thought, what the hell? I'll just shave the whole thing. It made me look like a baby, but the beard will come back. But more important than that, I wanted to point out to both, well, all of you, but particularly Ron and Nate, who've been with me for many, many years, that you guys know I'm excellent with bad jokes. So I wanted to tell you a bad joke for a very important reason. But number one, let's go ahead and get the bad joke out of the way. Personally, I don't trust stairs. You know why? Because they're always up to something.
Oh!
I finally got the soundbar working.
Soundboard. Can I
give one back to you? I learned yesterday. My 10-year-old texted me like five times with this. Where do bees go to the bathroom?
Where's that?
At the BP station.
Amazing. So I have several ready here for if we make terrible picks or good picks for that matter. I may do a little something. So get ready, listeners, to some of the worst experiences you've ever had in your life, which are surely coming up in the coming weeks of this show.
Oh, that is outstanding news. You know what else is outside it? Outstanding news? I don't know. Whatever we say,
if you tweet
us at NastyCast Pod. I really stumbled over that one. That's too bad. We're still rolling, baby. We are like minutes away from this live draft, which
you get one shot at this housekeeping segment. And if you butcher it, we're screwed. So, buddy boy, make it count.
I've rarely actually stumbled on this, to be perfectly honest. So that was just a horrible transition.
You just jinxed yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Right there. So, you can tweet us at NastyCastPod. I'm at Nathan Dockin. Ben is at Manly Van Lee. Ron is at The Real Ma Day. Cross is at EricCross04. If you don't have Twitter and you want to get a hold of us, you can always shoot us an email, nastytrackspods@gmail.com. And if you would like to support the show, you can do that by taking just a moment of your time and leaving us a review on iTunes. We did get a nice review this week. that's a great review. I don't know why you would make that sound. I think
that sound was made during the review that we got last week, because I know which one you're referring to.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for this one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the review is, it delivers. and then some. Ladies, bring extra underwear. The absolute sexiness of the voice of Nathan Dokken, a humble mailman from North Dakota, will soak your panties. You will remain entranced by his deep, powerful, and grisly voice, all while learning about the ins and outs of fantasy, the fantasy baseball world.
Ben, also make a note to insert some 70s porn music behind that as well.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I could do
that. Yeah.
Of course, thanks to my loving girlfriend, Madison, for leaving that review. It was obviously not your standard listener because nobody in their right mind would say those things. But
Ron, so
you can leave five-star review. You can say whatever the hell you want, really. We'll read it. You have that kind of power. People don't realize, the listeners out there don't realize what kind of power they actually have over us.
Build all the review. We have democracy here. They can vote us in and out. They can do whatever they want, to be honest.
Yes. Although you have to leave at least one host. You can't vote us all off. It's just going to be the Eric Cross podcast in a couple
of
weeks.
They'll bring Joe back. It'll just be Joe and nobody else.
Nobody wants that. Nobody would vote for that. If you want to support us monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/nastypod. Kick us a buck a month. We will love you forever. It helps support this podcast, and it also gives you some kickbacks. You get access to all of our Patreon bonus exclusive episodes, and you get access to our Slack channel as well. You can talk to us all the time. We've got a great YouTube channel. You can check that out, fantraxhq.com, for all of our written work. And we are ready to roll here. We've got 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, God.
Wait, here you go. Hang on. I got you here. Are you ready? Hold on. Where is it? The number one overall pick will be. We don't know. He hasn't taken anyone yet.
To preface this league, it wound up being 17 teams because, like, last minute there wound up being a couple of extra people that wanted in, and who am I to tell them no? So we just kept making the league longer and longer, and there we have the first pick off the board. It is Ronald Acuna Jr. And so, not standard 5x5 here. We're going with innings pitched instead of wins or quality starts, for that matter, and we're going with OBP instead of batting average. Other than that, it's typical 5x5. Just super deep. We got one catcher, 2 utility spots, 9 any pitcher positions, and 5 bench slots. So we're probably not going to podcast for this entire draft because it's going to be probably a pretty lengthy draft, but we're going to keep you entertained, hopefully, throughout the more early and important picks. Number 2 pick off the board here is Christian Yelich, and I've got the 4th overall pick. We'll go through where we are picking here in a minute. I guess, Ron, we can just kick it out to you first since you took Christian Yelich at number 2.
Yeah, I went against what I said last week just because I was sitting here thinking about this. And, you know, the more and more I read about Trout, but potentially missing some time, I don't necessarily think that his numbers are going to be a whole lot far off from what Yelich is going to be. And I don't really see any, as long as Yelich is healthy, I don't think he misses any time related to COVID or anything like that. I think the numbers will be similar. So I decided to go with a little bit safer pick there at number 2.
And Yelich has struggled a little bit here in the spring, but here in the summer training. But for the most part, he's been healthy. He's played. So that really kind of alleviates a little bit of the concerns I have. I still wonder about the stolen bases. I wonder what that's going to be this year. But ultimately, it's a fine pick. I mean, he's going to hit home runs. He's going to hit crazy batting average. He's going to be good no matter what else happens other than the stolen bases.
Well, all things equal, you're taking Trout. So a little bit different scenario this year.
All right, yeah. Trout goes off the board at number 3. What do you guys think about that? Is it too early, considering that he might, miss a chunk of the season with the birth of a child?
Maybe, but I mean, yes, I'm leaning too early. But honestly, what if we talk about him missing chunk of time because of missing the birth of his child? Because there might be a delay where he has to wait. It all depends on a number of factors. If he constantly tests negative, he's only going to miss a couple of days, which isn't quite as much as, you know, the 2 weeks or whatever it may be with the standard COVID testing. And ultimately, every single player is at risk of hitting that 2-week time period where they miss it. So maybe it's a little more cemented here with Trout as far as missing time, but I think everyone is at risk of that. So I can make the argument, but I probably wouldn't have done it myself.
All right. So I wound up with the 4th pick. And this is probably a little against the norm, but I went with Francisco Lindor at number 4. Thought about going with Gerrit Cole. There's a number of other 5 category guys. You know, Cody Bellinger was the other guy that I was weighing there. It's nice how he has the first base outfield multi-eligibility. But I really think that, I mean, Lindor moving down to that 3 spot maybe it impacts his stolen base totals a little bit, but you're looking at a guy who's stolen over 20 bases over the last 2 years combined, over 30 home runs as well. You got to imagine he's going to be among the league leaders in both runs and RBI in this short season with that very stout 1-5 that the Indians have. So I felt like there was a little bit of a higher stolen base floor over Cody Bellinger. And that's one thing that I wanted to kind of secure, I guess, early on was a higher stolen base floor. So I'm not chasing the steals throughout the draft. I don't know if you guys think that's a crappy pick or what. After that, we had Garrett Cole go off the board, Mookie Betts.
Oh, and then Cody Bellinger. Oh, that old gangster.
That'd be a hell of a ball player right there.
Second pitcher went off the board, Jacob DeGrom. Not too surprising. I mean, we fully expected pitchers to be going fairly early, so not a shocking move there. I'm fine with your reasoning for Lindor. I think kind of the knock on of him that I've heard by people who are knocking him is that he's an accumulator. And considering we're having a season where a lot more people are going to have the full season, as opposed to a guy who always gets 650 plate appearances, who will probably do the same thing, that limits his value a little bit, but I don't have a problem with it. Like you said, he still steals bases. Hitting where he's at in the order might improve his RBI run totals even more than they would have been wherever else he was. So, yeah, I'm fine with it.
I would say that another knock, you know, that I had floating around in my head is that this is an OBP format and he's not a huge OBP guy, whereas there's a lot of huge OBP guys to go around right now early on. But so Van and Cross, you are back to back at picks 14 and 15. And we've got a whole bunch of timers expiring here for some reason. Like everybody's back in this draft room. Yeah, back to back to back. Timer's expiring, so super lame, guys. Great start, but so we had Bellinger, DeGrom, and Soto all go off the board as auto picks, even though they're in the room, or at least it shows that much. And we've now had Bregman and Story, Alex Bregman and Trevor Story, go off the board here at 10 and 11. So
Bregman going off at that time kind of surprises me because he's ranked a lot lower in a lot of important drafts, I guess we'll say. I was kind of hoping he might fall somewhere to me, but that certainly didn't happen. So I'll have to take a little look a little bit harder at some of the higher end guys. But that was a bit of a shocking turn for me. I think he should go there, to be honest. Ooh, there's that fan track.
There it is.
Did you guys hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I heard it, but I heard it through you. I didn't hear it when I picked.
Yeah, that was, I wonder if I can mute that because you that sure was can. Awful.
It's right on the internet to do that.
Who did you take, Eric?
I'm behind you.
Oh, you're after.
Yeah, he goes next.
Yeah, right, you're up right now.
I had a couple Rockies go, then we had Trey Turner go.
Oh, crap.
Before you.
Make it easy on me,
panic
Van.
Panic time. I'm looking at panic the wrong pick. Sheet.
10 seconds left.
10.
Where is 9. He? Where is he? Why not? Ah, there we go. I took Jose Ramirez.
You didn't make it easier on me. shoot.
That's a guy I wanted for some steals there, and I think it'll be pretty good.
Okay. If you need to search, Gourmand starts with a G.
Oh, thanks. Is it a hard G or a soft G? I can't remember.
It's a hard G. It's not Gourmand.
I'll go. There we go. Walker Buehler.
Interesting.
Between him and Max Scherzer.
You're not concerned with the inning stuff with Walker Buehler, or is it just time to take him regardless?
It's time to take him. I think he's a borderline top 10 pick. This year, and I don't usually ever take pitchers in the first round, but figured here it's a 17 team. I got pick 15, might as well.
There we go. Trey Turner, I think, was a really nice bargain there as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was hoping he'd fall. He was the third guy in my queue. I was hoping he'd fall, knowing he wouldn't, but I was hoping. Whoops, almost back to me. Jesus. Now everyone's picking quick.
Yeah, and there goes couple more pitchers there. We had Jack Flaherty go, Bryce Harper, and Max Scherzer, the aforementioned.
JD Martinez sitting there for you.
Yeah, Harper and Scherzer went on the turn. So now we're back to Jacob here at the second pick of round two.
What's the most recent people have heard about Freddie Freeman? You know, he's sitting out there. Because there's been talk that he could be back quickly, from what I heard.
Yeah, I read a couple days ago that he's pretty much back. He just thinks it's going to take him a little bit of time to get his strength back, but he's looking at – he's not really going to miss any time. And he's confident that he can come back 100%.
And that's who I'm going with here.
Hmm, Gotta find that button. But I knew I had a pick coming up, so I didn't have time to dally. I'm going to do something a little interesting here. I'm going pitching because I want to be sure and get my ace off the board really quick. And I'm also one of the guys who's maybe a little bit out on Bieber compared to the field. So I'm going to go ahead and go with Steven Strasburg at this point. It was between Strasburg and another pitcher that I'm not going to mention because he might come up soon. But I'll mention that when it happens.
All right. Cross, were you crossed that Rafael Devers went to pick before you? Was he on your radar?
No, I think I still would have gone Freeman over Devers there, even though it was close. I heard that, you know, Freeman's basically ready. They've been giving him a ton of at-bats, like he had 10 at-bats one day, 8 the next, just to get him, you know, get as much at-bats as he can before the season starts. So I think he should be there opening day. And I love that lineup. I think that lineup's going to score a ton of runs, even without Puig. That's still a damn good lineup. A lot of big bats up and down in front of him and behind him. So as long as he's healthy, which it looks like he is, I think he's going to be pretty damn good this year.
Yes, one of the bets not in front or behind him is going to be Yasiel Puig, unlike we reported last week, because he had the coronavirus as they performed his physical. So he
does that shock anybody? Brave.
No,
like, that's the most Puig thing ever.
If I had to put any money on any major leaguer to get coronavirus, it's going to be Puig 100 times out of 100, no doubt.
Did he get the corona from the wild boar? Is that possible?
That or at some nightclub where he was wearing 3 popped collars at once and yelling at someone he didn't even know. Probably got it from one of those two places.
So we had Shane Bieber, who was previously mentioned, goes off the board. JD Martinez, an auto pick. And apparently, I mean,
that's
he's in the draft.
Fine auto pick to have, though. I mean, it's a guy who's going to hit no matter what, right?
Yep, great OPP guy as well there. Now we have a couple more pitchers coming off the board, Mike Clevinger and Justin Verlander.
Clevinger was that pitcher I hinted at earlier. That was another guy that I was considering with Strasburg. I don't know, I just like Strasburg a little bit better. That's not to say that Clevinger can't be better. I just happen to like Steven Strasburg, which is why I went the way I did.
All right, so we've got a couple. I've got 5-6 picks here left until I'm up.
I'll jump in here. I'll take over so you can kind of think about your picks. Let's see. So taking over some of the pitchers that went, Justin Verlander finally went there. What, pick 8 in the second round. Is that an appropriate place to take him? Or Ron, Eric, are you wary of Justin Verlander because of some of the news that's come out and, of course, the injuries he had back when the season was supposed to start?
I'm not really. The last I saw about Verlander is that the groin was all set, and he's a guy that, you know, he's should be ramped up here pretty quickly and still pitching 6-7 plus innings. You know, he's one of those guys where I don't worry about him, you know, not going deep. He's one of those horses with Scherzer. So, you know, I love Verlander there. I actually probably would have taken him if I had a pick like 5 picks before that. Maybe where you were, Van, I might have considered. He was on my radar at my last pick. I didn't want to go back to back pitchers, or else I might have if I went hitter there in the first round. But I like Verlander a lot this year.
Plus, too, I think I'm a little more in on him now that it's a shortened season. If it was a normal length season, I might not be as apt to take him there. But 60 games, I think it's perfectly fine for a lot of these guys that are older.
A couple more picks came off the board. We had Fernando Tatis Jr. go as an auto pick. Fine auto pick for where he went. Ozzie Albies went off the board. And then Clayton Kershaw, as we wait for Francisco Gregory to select his next player. What I'll say about Verlander is I'm kind of on the fence about it because I do believe some of his injuries have healed, but he is a year older. But again, on the other side of that, the recent report came out that I read via Jeff Zimmerman's Mining the News, my co-host on the Launch Angle podcast, where he mentioned reading Verlander discussing his mechanics. And if you're not aware, if you or a young person or a parent with a kid who's getting into baseball and you want someone to learn picture perfect mechanics, you watch Justin Verlander. Guy has the best balance, great release point. Well, he talked about getting back to a delivery he had a few years prior because the release point's a little bit better. Some people interpreted this as, he's making a change. I'm a little more apt to say I believe Justin Verlander knows his mechanics. I mean, he's pitched for how long and been very, very good for how long. So I believe that it's a good thing. But then again, he's also 5 plus years old. He's got a lot of innings on that arm. Overall, I'm saying it's a fine place to take him. But on a normal year when I don't have a dozen pitchers who are hurt and COVID and so forth, I might be a little wary to take him. Ketel Marte comes off the board. And then we had Anthony Rendon. Rendon, who might miss a few days, had a bit of a oblique strain, but he should be back in short order to play for the Angels. Luis Castillo next to Nate. Nate, what was the decision there whenever you decided to draft Luis Castillo, your boy for many years?
Moments ago, yes. I was really on the fence. I kind of wanted to wait another round to hit my pitching, but there, I don't know. I like Luis Castillo quite a bit. I feel like he's going to put up a fair number of innings. So I want to get at least that one horse. This is going to put up quite a few innings with elite ratios. And so he fits the bill. And there's enough bats coming back in the second round where I feel comfortable waiting on one of these guys. Jordan Alvarez would have been easily the pick for me, but his status is so up in the air right now. I just can't pull the trigger on him yet.
My favorite part about that is Dusty Baker was asked, okay, what about playing time? Is Kyle Tucker finally going to get a chance? And Dusty Baker, being Dusty Baker, said, I think I'll end up playing Aledmys Diaz in the DH spot. So what does Tucker have to do to actually play a baseball game?
Could have guessed it with Dusty Baker. Crusty Dusty.
How is Dusty Baker not the manager of the Colorado Rockies? He's like the perfect manager for that team. Like, they hate prospects. He hates prospects. It's a match made in heaven. I don't know how that's happened yet.
All right. So we are. Who did Ron goes with Matt Olson and steals the other guy that I was looking at. Thanks a lot, Ron.
No problem.
And now we're on back on the clock.
And he, so goes with Matt Olson over Pete Alonso, who is still on the board, by the way.
I mean, I'd consider it pretty heavily.
Pete Alonso looks like he ate Pete Alonso.
Like, yes.
Eat he Alonso came into camp. Yeah, yeah, so, I saw that.
Someone posted on Twitter, I think today, about Vlad Jr. And they were like, I thought Vlad Jr. is supposed to be in shape. For Vlad Jr., he's in shape, but he's still a chunk. So anyone expecting Vlad Jr. to suddenly be wheeling and dealing with those legs is going to be a little bit disappointed because he's still a stout damn little man.
And Ron just auto-picked Pete Alonso, so how about that?
Well, you know what? I was thinking about honestly, I was thinking about doing that just for fun, and it might. I keep getting my Wi-Fi to drop the draft room, so I ended up getting Pete Alonso as well. So it looks like I've definitely got the market cornered on homers for sure. That's okay. He can play some corner infield. Why not? We'll take it.
Well, this is a trading league, so we can make some moves and switch some players around.
And that actually pisses me off because he was going to be my draft pick. Frankie Montas goes off the board before.
That was my whoa.
We found Nate's favorite fan out there for sure. Yeah. Someone listened a little too hard to you.
We'll rue the day.
Good for Ben.
All right. Well, now that's
you're back on the clock here, Nate. I'll let you take a second to think about it. But when you're done, I want to hear what your mindset is here. Do you think he goes pitcher? Do you think he goes hitter? Let's take a bet, Nate Ron. Which one do you take? Do you think he goes hitter or pitcher here?
Hitter.
Eric.
Hitter.
You're correct.
I'll take the other. I'll take hitter because I think that's what's going to happen. And he took a hitter. He took Starling Marte right off the top of my queue.
You're friggin' welcome. Yeah, I kind of wanted another power bat. I was really looking at Pete Alonso there. I would have loved to get him at that price, but 'twas not to be thanks to Ron's shoddy Wi-Fi. And so I decided that Starling Marte was the best guy on the board for me. Another guy without a great OBP, but there I can make up for that later. But he is going to be one of the premier steals getters in this short season. We've talked about it in the recent weeks. At least in my opinion, I want those guys who I know are going to have a higher steals floor than those just kind of not nothing guys. And so Lindor and Marte gave me a pretty solid steals floor.
I feel like I haven't picked in like half an hour.
That's probably because you haven't picked in about a half an hour.
That said, these fast drafts do go by quickly. There's very little time to compose yourself, particularly when you're keeping notes for timestamps for a podcast, trying to run a soundboard, as well as picking your own team. So we'll see how the draft continues here.
A lot going on. Yeah. So we've had, since my Starling Marte pick, Gleyber Torres and Yu Darvish go off the board there.
Yu Darvish.
I think that's a little early on Darvish.
not quite like Frankie Montas early, but yeah, a little bit early.
It's a bit early, but I'm fine with taking him there because I think he's going to be really good.
Just to add, though, Darvish got lit up a little bit by the White Sox yesterday.
lit up's an understatement. He got absolutely annihilated.
It's actually this summer.
It's summer. Who cares? This is the same thing that happens every spring training with people like, he had two bad starts. Well, he threw 8 fastballs and that was it. It's like, who cares? I mean, basically, you're just looking at velocities as well as pitch mix, and he was fine from that. So I'm not too concerned about it.
Yeah, but it is you, Darvish, though.
What about you, Nate? You were way out on Darvish last year. You're a little more positive on him this year, maybe not as much so as some of the other fantasy analysts out there.
Yeah, well, he made some serious adjustments and had a tremendous second half last year. So, I mean, until he did that, I was totally right, and he was just horrible that first half. And so one has to assume that he can at least carry over a portion of that success into this year. So I definitely think I don't have my rankings up right now, but I think he's a top 20 option for me, maybe top 15. And that's where I've got Frankie Montas as well, to be perfectly honest.
Let me ask you this, Eric, because you're coming up soon as well as I am. Are you feeling comfortable with this next pick?
I mean, I was until you asked me that question. I had 5 guys in my queue that I put in there fairly soon after my last pick. And, now 2 of them are still there. Xander Bogaerts just went to Barbara Streisand.
My favorite name in the whole thing, by the way. I know who that is.
Yes.
Yeah, so... Just real quick, like, we're not saying the names of a lot of these fans that are playing with us, because they immediately got into the league and changed their names to a lot of ridiculous names like Astros to Mouth, putting on a Kalenic, and so we have no idea who you are right now.
They're all amazing names, by the way. It would just be nice if we had something that we could give them credit for these amazing names and these picks.
There's some real stupid names in there. I'm looking at the list, like, there's this Eric Cross guy who has to be just an utter piece of shit, right? I mean, come on.
He is. I met the guy. Dude's a... I almost swore. Dude's a total tool.
And looks like, Springer went. I was heavily considering Springer there just because I'm looking for a little power.
Yeah. So
I asked the question about if you're feeling comfortable. I'm really not. There are a lot of guys I like here, but it partly is my team construction. But at this spot in the third, I don't know. I feel like there are a lot more people I would like more than I would like taking them. Now, a lot of hurt guys or questionable guys. Jordan Alvarez, Charlie Blackmon. I mean, he's been playing since he got back to camp, but it took him a while to get in there. Anthony Rizzo still having some back issues. DJ LeMahieu, I think he had COVID or he was out because of that. So there's some tricky choices to be had here. I think I know what I'm going to do. I'm gonna zig when I would traditionally zag. Oh, I'm up. So let's do it. I turned off the noise thing so I couldn't tell. All right. I'm gonna do something. I wanna see the reaction of you guys when I do this.
Jose Canseco. Oh my god. Oh.
That was one of the two guys in my pick. That was one of the two guys in my queue.
Lucas Giolito. The biggest
Giolito hater in the world. Mm-hmm.
I just think he's one of the better pitchers that's left. And even though I'm not as high on a lot of people, I think he'll give some good innings, give some good strikeouts. I think the strikeout gains are legit. I think the ERA was a little questionable. But as far as pitchers go, I want some top-end pitchers. And since I missed out on the truly elite guys and instead got a pretty elite guy with Strasburg, I'm okay taking Giolito there. I probably would have preferred a power bat, but I just don't like the power bats that are there right now. And Barbara Streisand, I ruined his day. He was hoping for Giolito to drop. Tough.
He wasn't. That would have been my pick. I was going between him and Harry. So you made my pick a little easier.
So you feel like a big season from Keston Hira is in the works, Mr. Cross?
I do. I love Keston Hira. I like that lineup. He's going to be hitting right near Christian Yelich. I think that's just going to be a really good lineup top to bottom. And he's going to be a big part of it. I like he's got the powers to be there, the average. I think the OBP should be pretty solid as well. Maybe he throws in a little bit of speed as well. So love guessing your area.
And it's almost back to you. So what's your thought process right now, Eric?
I got 2 big bats here in my queue and 2 picks before me. I'm hoping. I had Eloy in my queue too, but I'm going power here, probably outfield. So we'll see. I want to go Jordan, but I just can't do it yet.
Yeah, you should do that.
No, I definitely should not.
Because I'm pretty sure you're going to take the player I want to take. We'll see. Here it goes. Mike Soroka went off the board just before Eric's pick. Interesting. I don't know if I like that one, but we'll see once the season is over.
Hope you guys don't judge me for this one.
Damn it. Yeah, I really wanted Aaron Judge. Yep.
That's a great pick.
That ruins everything.
Hey, Aaron.
I'm going to do something crazy. I think I'm going third base.
You going Vlad?
No, actually, I'm not. I think I'm going to go Manny here. I think there's going to be a bit of a bounce back, and I think we're going to see a little bit more power out of him. So I'm going Manny Ramirez. Oh, good. He qualifies at short, so that makes that decision even
Manny easier. Manny Ramirez, that's a bold pick.
Should have gone Nolan Gorman.
I want to go to Manny Wood.
Yeah, third base shortstop eligibility there. Jeff McNeil goes off the board.
With the Giolito pick and the Manny Machado pick, those are cases of Vanny not being Vanny.
Pretty good.
All right.
I like it. Very good. Hey, Yordan Alvarez went off the board, of course, to the team named Astros to mouth right after Jeff McNeil.
Sixth pick of round four in a 17-team league, he finally goes off the board. So, and yeah, he was going to be my pick if he actually came back to me, which was too good to be true, of course. So let's see. Before that, so we had a couple pitchers going off after Eloy, Tyler Glasnow, Trevor Bauer, Mike Soroka. Clearly, Jacob did not read my most recent starting pitcher barometer, where I did mention that Soroka kind of takes a little bit of a step back, I think, in the shortened season, just because I want guys with those higher strikeout rates. He's more a little bit more of a compiler, you know, Van, like you mentioned, that kind of player earlier on with my Lindor pick. But yeah, I want guys with a little bit higher K rate rather than the accumulators on the pitching side, especially.
And Sonny Gray comes off the board next. I mean, if you look at the most recent pitchers, we've got Sonny Gray, Tyler Glasnow, Mike Soroka, Trevor Bauer. That's why I wanted to go with Giolito, because I think he's better than a lot of these guys. Glasnow's intriguing because he's healthy and in a short season, but I still think I would rather have Giolito than a lot of these other guys. And this is the time in pitching where those pitchers suddenly become valuable for one thing they do. Bauer, because he strikes everyone out because he's a D-bag. Soroka, arguably, if you want to take Soroka, because maybe he's a really good ERA kind of guy. Sonny Gray took some steps forward. I still wouldn't take him there. Charlie Blackmon just goes off the board. But this is where pitching gets kind of questionable. So even though I'm not too thrilled with my offense to this point, although I do like both players I have, I'm pretty happy with my pitching, because that's just kind of how it's going to be. But Nate, I know you've had some different decisions on pitching this year. Are you still confident in starting pitching markets past this point?
You know, there's some now that, okay, so coming into the normal season, I was really high on the elite bulk pitchers, you know, the top 15 guys, top 20 guys, and then there's definitely a tier drop off after that. Well, now, I mean, there's still that tier drop off in terms of the elite production, but what happens is now those guys who are kind of five and dive guys, they kind of blend in with everybody else a little more, because there's not going to be so much bulk pitching. And so a lot of those guys, you know, we've seen it. I don't know if I should. It's kind of taboo to talk about these guys that are still on the board. So I don't know if I want to name names just yet, but there's a really good chunk of value now between like starting pitcher 30 and SP, you know, 50, even into the 60s now. So my draft strategy for pitching has changed a little bit. You know, I got my one horse and I think I'm going to be good. It's kind of sitting back and dipping into that lesser tier now.
And one big question as you take your pick here is going to be, what is happening with the closers? Because in a lot of important, I'll finish this sentence, you can get in a lot of important drafts, closers were going insanely early. Like there might have been a closer off the board certainly by now. I wonder if that's going to be the case with this draft, or since this is a more, I guess, fun league style draft, if people aren't going to be as crazy for some of these closers. We'll see. But let's see where Javi Baez just went off the board. I'm assuming that's who you're upset that got taken there, Nate.
I'm upset at a whole slew of people. I swear to God, like if I was at the other end of this draft right now, I would have so many guys that I am happy about. I was waiting on Charlie Blackmon or Max Muncy or Joey Gallo or Javier Baez. All four of them go off in the five picks before I come up. Unbelievable. So I went with Vlad Guerrero just because essentially, you know, should be strong batting average, strong OBP guys. You're hoping that he takes a step forward now that he's lost about 50% of that backside. A little bit better, and he's moving to first base, so maybe he doesn't have to worry about the defense at third base so much. A lot of positive, Statcast data and so forth on Guerrero last year. So, and third base, we know it kind of drops off a little bit after a while. So I'm happy to get a third baseman here with Guerrero.
Ron, that's a nice little pick. He fell quite a bit there, I think.
There we go. All good. And I made Ben upset for sniping him on his homer pick. So I feel a little bit better.
Well, Ben, who lives in like Newfoundland or somewhere crazy way up north, I believe he was born in Canada. I can't remember. He's at least lived there a long time. So yep. Ben is our very northern fan, one of them. We have a handful of those, to be honest. So, yeah, stealing Blue Jays, even though the Blue Jays are clearly going to play nowhere. Pittsburgh, I guess, is the most recently bandied about thing. But it's crazy to think we're, 2 days from actual games, and the Blue Jays still don't have a home for this season.
Yeah, that's, Derek Carty was tweeting about the potential Buffalo landing site for them. And that would be really good for the hitter's value there because it profiles, as he says, a little bit above altitude. It's got some low fences, so it profiles a really nice hitter's park. Wouldn't do me very good on my Hyunjin Ryu shares, of course, but that's about the only pitcher that I'd be worried about up north.
Well, and part of the problem with that, too, is no minor league stadium is established and will pass the lighting rules for Major League Baseball. So they would have to make some crazy changes. And I believe a couple of places are trying to make those changes to get the opportunity to host. I think Pittsburgh is probably most likely just because it's there, it's already ready. Although that's going to cause quite a few issues as far as, actual scheduling. I haven't seen the deals with the schedule, so we'll see about that. A couple of big picks here since you took Guerrero Jr. JT Realmuto is our first catcher off the board. Jose Berrios, Yoan Moncada was a timer-expired pick. Matt Chapman was a timer-expired pick. A couple of third basemans, that was at the turn, so one team with them. And then Victor Robles just came off the board as well.
So I am coming up. Oh, I'm up right now. Ben goes with Framil Reyes. Steals another one of my favorites. my God, battle. I feel like everybody's out to get me right now.
That was retaliation to you taking his homer pick, I think.
It absolutely was. I'm targeted right now.
So, well, you know, I have a sound for exactly how you feel. Are you ready?
Yep. Oh, no.
That one is, by the way, I named and labeled these. That one is labeled fart hyphen wet. Hyphen wet. Our fans appreciate that. That also implies I have more fart sounds too. I do.
Yes, it does. If there has ever been a more nasty cast appropriate label, I have yet to think of it.
We should just call the show the Fart Dash Wet Podcast.
I was going to say that should be at least the title of this podcast.
So with my last pick, I was really weighing between a couple of power bats. Nelson Cruz and Josh Donaldson would have been homer picks for me. It would have felt good, but I want to win this league. I found myself a little bit strapped for power. After going with, Starling Marte early on, Vlad Guerrero might not deliver as much high-end power as I wanted. So swinging for the fences with Giancarlo Stanton here in round 5. Could easily pace the league in home runs. You know, all he has to do is stay healthy, and he's going to be among the league leaders in home runs and RBI. And that dude can get on base at a fair clip as well.
Another player that was taken for me, 6, 7, 8 picks before I got him. So not surprising. There's plenty of time. If you were looking for power at this point, which I was, I think that's a solid pick. And like you said, it's a swing for the fences style move, because if it pans out, it pans out great. If it doesn't pan out, we'll see. That said, when Stanton doesn't tend to pan out, it's because he got hurt. So that means you can fill in for him. Rarely has he played and just been bad. And since he's playing right now, there's no reason to say, okay, well, he's not worth drafting. So I like it.
I appreciate it. And then right after me was Adalberto Mondesi by Nick. And I would have absolutely, despite this being an OBP format, I would have absolutely pulled the trigger on him if I hadn't gone with the stolen bases earlier with Starling Marte and Francisco Lindor. It's because Mondesi is going to be such a difference maker in that category. And I kind of want to throw caution to the wind in this short season. You know, maybe he can BABIP his way to a 300 average just by, from being so fast. So I think that's a pretty solid pick at this point for Nick. And then we had Anthony Rizzo going off the board after that. Dealing with some back issues right now. Hopefully it won't keep him out too long. And then Marcus Semien, Josh Donaldson, and Jonathan Villar.
Rizzo, I think it was about time for him to go. I was considering taking him with my next pick. There's another first baseman on there that I will probably go with if it gets to me. Josh Hader just went off the board, so there's our first reliever. But Rizzo, even though he's dealing with some injuries, he's also had that back injury for a while and he's performed just fine. So there is an argument to be made that you keep him for a while. Luis Robert just went off the board here. Eric is threw his headset down. He's so mad.
Hader and Robert were like the two guys I was really hoping they would draw.
And that's what, round five when Robert went off the board? So, okay. I think that's about in line with what his ADP has been. I don't know that I'd be the one to pull the trigger, but I can't necessarily fault anyone for it, particularly because we know he's going to play and it's a short season. Who knows? Maybe we could find lightning in a bottle here.
Yeah. So, Ron, we didn't touch on your picks, but you went with Jose Berríos and then Victor Robles. So, what went into those decisions?
Well, as you know, I guess, kind of in a way, on purpose, not on purpose, really stocked up on power, so I don't really need to do that anytime soon. So I needed a few steals. Got some with Yelich. I think Robles can put up a few as well. And in a normal season, I would have expected probably 20 to 25 out of him with a respectable average, handful of homers. And then Jose Berríos, he's fine as my number one. In a normal season, he's pretty much a lock to get you right around 200 strikeouts as long as he's healthy. And I think that, you know, when you prorate that down, I think he's a fine number one at this point. Like I said, you know, we got 17 people in this league. So getting a guy that's, you know, kind of one of those fringy SP2s, I think you got to be okay with that. And I miss out, you know, kind of like Vance said, I missed out on some of the more elite guys at the top. But he was a guy that I had right there in the queue and I about seven picks before I went. And I was just expecting him to go, and he fell to me there. So I think I got pretty good value there with him.
Hey, everyone, it's Van here. Guess what we forgot to do? Include a break. So this is as good a time as any. We're going to do that. And then when we get back, we will continue drafting players. He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. He said, I come from a land of nasty. Oh, I realized I'm up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be up soon. I'm staring at it. Ron, while I select this player, actually, I'll select him and talk about him. I'm going to do something that I think is a player who's helped out because we now have the National League DH, and that's Nathan's best bud, Nelson Cruz. I like Cruz a lot, obviously. I mean, he just year in and year out produces. Maybe we're at the end of that road, but I'm not necessarily confident to say that it's right now. And I need some steady power production. Where else can you find steady power production in the fifth round that's going to potentially hit you 40 home runs in a regular season with regularity other than Nelson Cruz, even though he's just utility eligible? Ron, I have a question for you, though, as a resident Rays fan. Austin Meadows is still out there. He, of course, tested positive for COVID. What is the most recent prognosis, if you heard anything?
I'm just seeing that he's not going to be most likely available for opening day. I don't really see a whole lot of anything out there about when he is supposed to be ready, so that kind of scared me away from him a little bit. Actually, Cross just took him off the board there. There we go.
Yeah.
I was looking at him there. I would have loved to have taken him, but you know, at this point, I don't know if you can really spend a lot of picks on guys that you're not going to get at least something sort of like a full season out of. And I was afraid I wasn't going to get that, but I haven't seen anything where he's tested negative yet. I think they have to do that thing where they test negative twice before they come back. So I haven't seen a whole lot other than he's not going to be there for opening day.
Let me say this, too. I'm looking at the ADP on Fantrax here. Brandon Woodruff is at number 76. I think that's crazy. Do you guys agree, or would you be okay taking him at this spot?
I think that's a little high. Yeah, it's a little high. I like Woodruff. I think he's got a nice arsenal. He's an intriguing pitcher long-term. But, yeah, 76, I think the hype has just gotten – everyone's just buying into him, you know, after the way he pitched, you know, second half of last year. So, but that's gone way too high for my liking.
Yeah, and Alex Chamberlain, you know, part of his pitch leaderboard is calculates overperformers in the strikeout and walk categories, and Brandon Woodruff was pretty much the poster child for over pitching, you know, what his more deserved strikeout and walk rates were. So that doesn't make me any more enthusiastic.
Seems like it's hype at this point, and I agree with both of your points. Let's see. Eddie Rosario, Jorge Soler, Marcel Marceau Zuna, as I like to call him, Zach Gallen. Interesting. And then Corey Kluber. Eric, you ended up taking Kluber. Tell us about that while I select my player here.
Yeah, there wasn't really any pitchers I was in love with. And, you know, I still think Corey Kluber's got something left in the tank here. His fastball velocity's kind of been dipping last year. But he's a guy that in a shortened season, you know, maybe, you know, gets, you know, the fresh start in Texas. So I'm not in love with that pitching environment in general. But this is a guy that was, you know, just, you know, season before last was still considered, you know, right around a top 10 pitcher. Had, you know, three straight years of an ERA under 3.2. His whip's always been very good. So I think he can keep my ratios in check. I mean, a good amount of strikeouts over a strikeout per inning. I don't think we're done seeing Kluber as a top 25 pitcher. I think he's had a couple more years of that level. So and in the shortened season, I think he's a great option at this point.
I hope so. I love Kluber as a pitcher. He's fun to watch. It's awesome to say that I'm getting a Kluboner whenever I watch him play. So hopefully that continues. Now, keep in mind, too, if you're paying attention at home, this, of course, is a brand new year for the Texas Stadium. So it's a new place to pitch. We don't know if it's quite going to be the bandbox that it was once was. So keep that in mind. It could be better. I've actually heard rumor that it plays a little bit more like a pitcher's park. We'll see. It's still in Texas. We don't know how they created it. But, yeah, that'd be nice if for your pick, for sure.
Yeah. Another auto pick.
Whit Merrifield. Let's talk about him. I don't think people have been discussing him a whole lot. Of course, fell off last year to, I think, just 20 stolen bases, like 40 the prior year. Anyway, went from a lot to less. Are you guys confident he can get back to, you know, maybe 30 steals, or is he a 20 stolen base guy at this point? What do you think of the older outfielder that kind of came on the scene late in his career?
I mean, one of the saving graces for me, I'm not really that high on him because the steals have kind of been on a gradual decline, is he does give you that second base and that outfield eligibility in Fantrax. So I like that a little bit if you need to pop him in there in your middle infield to get some steals. I mean, everything else he puts up is solid. It's not like he's going to hurt you anywhere. And I think at this point, if you needed, you know, 15 to 20 steals in a normal season, I think he'd be a fine choice for that, but not somebody I'm super high on.
Yeah, yeah, not somebody that in this format, you know, he doesn't draw a lot of walks, so that doesn't help his profile in an OBP format.
Yeah, he still got the speed still there. Like he's 86th percentile sprint speed, so and I think that has dropped off a little bit, but you look at the rest of the, you know, Statcast data here and it's not good. 14th percentile exit, 14th hard hit. Obviously he's not relied on for power anyways, but he doesn't really impact the ball much anymore. The XBA is still 80th percentile, so I think you can count on for, you know, good average, probably a decent OBP, decent enough OBP, you know, a little bit of speed, probably 20 steal pace this year, I think is, you know, pretty accurate. But, you know, he's on the wrong side of 30 now. I'm not sure if we see that speed trend back up at this point, but still a solid little option here. I think that was a good value for he went.
I agree. I think it was fine, even though it was an auto pick. What I will say is I do believe we're going to see more players of his ilk, the kind that just kind of come on the scene, maybe a little bit older, because they can steal. And if they can hit for an okay batting average, we get two or three pretty good years out of them, and then they essentially disappear. I'm not necessarily saying he is. He may have a handful more good years in store. But, I mean, no one is banking on Whit Merrifield having a long career at this point. So we'll see how that continues. I'll list off some of the picks here as Nate comes up and he decides who he wants. I took Jose Abreu. Forgot to mention that. I was looking for a solid option at a corner, someone that I know is going to put up numbers. I think he's a bit underrated. So that's where I went. Eugenio Suarez went. And then, of course, Whit Merrifield. Ramon Laureano, I think, is a really nice pick there. Nick Castellanos. James Paxton for the Yankees was auto-picked. Michael Conforto. Brandon Woodruff. There he goes. Roberto Osuna. And then Paul Goldschmidt. And we just had Kevin Biggio taken off the board by Nate. Nate, this is your boy. OBP format. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, one of the biggest risers going from standard roto to an OBP format is Kevin Biggio. Just an elite, elite eye at the plate. Potentially could lead the league in walk rate. And so from a guy who all of a sudden you go from, you know, taking that ding in batting average to potentially having a plus on base percentage to go, you know, all of a sudden you've got a five category guy because he's going to chip in the stolen base category. And he's displayed a lot of power as well throughout his brief career. So, you know, standard batting average league, I wouldn't be taking him here, but I guess I'm just feeling the Blue Jays bats this year, like I said, especially if they get to play a Buffalo, which sets up as a great hitter's park. Now I got Vladdy and Kevin Biggio both in tow.
That's not a bad thing. I love the Biggio pick. I love that Laureano pick. He was a top 25 type of player when he was, you know, in that hot stretch last year before he got hurt. I love that pick. But yeah, Biggio, you think about it, you know, this is a guy that could post a OBP around 380 or so. I think is pretty fair for him. That equates, you know, if I told you, all right, you can go out and draft a guy in an average format that could hit like 290 with 20/20 potential, he would have gone probably a little bit higher than where you got him here. And that's kind of what he equates to in an OBP format, is, you know, very, you know, top-notch OBP option that can give you about 20/20 potential too. Mm-hmm.
Couple more picks coming up, and Nate will have another choice. We had Lance Lynn go off the board after Nate took Biggio. Max Fried, who is a bit of a sleeper darling. It's hard to say someone's a sleeper at pick 101, but I like it. I think Max Fried is going to be pretty darn good this year. It's in an Atlanta rotation that there's been some question as to how they're actually going to do it this year. They're going to piggyback. They've got a lot of names. Overall, it's a lot of good names and a good problem for the Braves to have, so I think it's a totally fine option. Carlos Santana went next. Another boon in a bit of OBP formats. A nice selection there. Carlos Correa just went off the board. Eric, notably, you and I had a bit of a bet last year about Carlos Correa, and it went in my favor, but are you still high on him, or are you a little more wary after we have another season of just injury and underperforming?
You know, long-term in dynasty leagues, I have dropped him way down my rankings because, you know, I do have concerns. You know, when he's had this many injuries, especially with those back issues at such a young age, that doesn't make me feel too confident long-term. But he's one of those guys, kind of like a Stanton, where in this shortened season, you know, obviously whenever he's been on the field, he's been pretty damn good. Like last year, you know, he hit 279 with 21 home runs and 280 at-bats. So that was over a 40-homer pace. Yeah, it was a happy fun ball, but still had a 926 OPS. And still was a very good on a, you know, per game basis when he was out there. And this shortened season, you know, who knows? This type of guy that could, if he stays healthy the entire 60 games, you know, this could be, you know, he's still got top 50 potential. The potential is still there, even if the steals aren't. And he still could be a very good four category contributor. So I like that pick right there.
Still young too, so keep that in mind. Always a chance he could just get healthy and turn it around. Oscar Mercado went after Carlos Correa, totally fine there. Hyunjin Ryu was auto-picked by Ben. Ben, the, of course, Canadian Blue Jays fan, so we know how that happened. He was in his queue. Totally fine. It's not that big of a deal. Gary Sanchez, taken by Nate. Nate, I was really crossing my fingers that Sanchez would fall to me in 10 picks, but I wasn't expecting a whole lot. OBP format, nice pick.
Well, you might get Yasmani Grandal, who is still on the board, and he's another terrific catching option in an OBP format. I think it's a pretty good value on Gary Sanchez just because, you know, he draws so many walks, OBP format, elite power at the position. I think there's every chance that he is the number one catcher in an OBP format. But the value doesn't feel as good just because Yasmani Grandal is still sitting right there. I was really hoping to land Carlos Correa. Unfortunately, as is typical, he goes just a couple picks in front of me. I think that Carlos Correa in a short season, I mean, hopefully the back stays healthy in a short season. Yeah, if he can, I mean, he can be among the best shortstops in the game.
Okay, let's see who else we have here. Gary Sanchez, you take him. Madison Bumgarner goes next to Nick Y. Tim Anderson, who it sucks this is an OBP format for Tim Anderson, but another guy who could really help you out in steals. Then Reese Hoskins. Yasmani Grandal just went off the board. Billy B took him, pick 110. So, yeah, nice little option there. Even though, I don't know, I might be a little bit down on Grandal. Like you said, in an OBP format, that boosts him up quite a bit too. I'm actually thinking that a lot of these selections here are exciting. I like some of the picks and players available now more so than I liked some of them at the round four, round five turn that I said earlier. So I still some interesting names. I'm going to have to debate who I take soon. Carlos Carrasco, Cookie, just went off the board as well.
Another auto pick.
Yeah, the funny thing is that all these people are in the room. So I don't know what's going on here.
I think everyone turned the sound off. They were getting tired of the air horn, so they probably turned their sound off. Now they can't hear anything.
I know that's what Ben said.
You know who's not in the room? Ron Rigney, who has abandoned us. He just left. He just got up, and he's like, I'm done with this, and he took off. Now I'm sure he'll be back. Something must have happened, but we can see how dirty his bed is. I can tell you that.
It could have been what happened to me about 20 minutes ago. My son came into the room to tell me something, so that's why I darted off the screen for both.
You just beat him away, didn't you? That's how you do it.
He came in to tell me he had to go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, just go. Tell me that stuff.
I often just call Nate to be like, hey, do you mind if I go to the bathroom? Even though we're in separate states, I just want to make sure that's okay.
I like to tell him that, yes, I do mind. Please hold on to that for at least 20 minutes. So, yeah, Kyle Schwarber, your favorite come off the board. We've run into a couple of timers expiring here, and we've ground to a screeching halt. So, zero new picks. We can check in with Ron Rigney, though. How about your last two picks since you weren't here to discuss them?
Hey, guys. So I got sniped on Ramon Laureano before I took Max Fried. I'm kind of like you, man. You know, everybody's kind of on Max Fried this year. But the thing with Max Fried is I like the K upside there as my SP2. I'm perfectly fine with that. It looks like at least him and Soroka are the two at the top of that rotation that might consistently be there most of the time. Beyond that, who knows? And then Oscar Mercado. I like Oscar Mercado to kind of be kind of a Tommy Pham light, I guess. I was looking at Tommy Pham there. Tommy Pham's getting a little bit older. Not sure that he's going to be able to post the stolen bases. I like to get a couple of those guys in a five-man outfield that can steal you, or a four-man outfield or whatever it is. It can steal you a couple, maybe 15 to 20 bases in a normal season. So like what I was able to do there with Mercado. And I didn't think he'd be there when I came back up, so I wanted to grab him after I got freed there.
All right, so we've got some action going on in the draft chat now. We got Jesus Luzardo went off the board, followed by Shohei Ohtani, and now Robbie Ray. So some really interesting picks there. Personally, I don't know if you guys want to touch on Luzardo. For me, this is too rich for him. I mean, if this was a couple weeks ago and he was going to be up to speed, that would be one thing. But it sounds like you're essentially drafting like a high K reliever at this point.
If this pretty much. I mean, he's not going to get the innings.
I probably would have already taken him like two or three rounds before that.
Yeah.
I don't know where I would be comfortable taking him in a draft. It would have to be post pick 200, I would think. Yes. And even then, you're just drafting on, what, two, three innings a week at best. Maybe they'll be good innings, but just not worth it. I was really disappointed Ohtani went off the board, though. I was wanting to I had this whole spiel in my head that I was going to talk about. This is a fun league, and you needed to take the players you like and swing for the fences, like we've said on some other players, and I think Ohtani is that. I think he benefited a lot from this shortened season. It gave him more rest. He's going to pitch once a week. He's going to hit quite a bit throughout the week. I think if you can stay on top of him, he's a good pick. Now, I'm pretty sure this is a weekly league, right?
Yep.
It is. So that
makes it a little trickier. But it makes it a little trickier, but I still think if you manage him well, you can get some really good value out of him. I ended up taking Mike Moustakas after Robbie Ray went off the board. Fine. I mean, he has second base eligibility and power, and that's the sole reason why I selected him. He can take a couple of walks. He's not great at OBP, but it's enough that I could use the power and consistency there. And then Tommy Pham went off the board, Jorge Polanco, Andrew Benintendi, Max Kepler. Eric, if you want to talk about Pham, that is who you took.
Yeah, I love Pham. You look in the OBP format. You know, two of the last 3 years, Pham has gone 20-20. And then in the 1 year he didn't, 2018, he still went 21-15 in 137 games. And listen to his OBPs his last 3 years, 411, 367, 369. You know, a guy walked 81 times in 651 plate appearances last year. And I think that San Diego lineup is going to be pretty sneaky good, with, you know, Tatis and Machado and others around him. I think that could be, you know, borderline top 10 lineup. So I love that value there, especially in OPP formats. Okay, I'm on the clock again. Shoot.
Pressure's on.
I want to go pitcher, but there's zero pitchers I like here.
Eduardo Rodriguez right there for Boston.
I know. Shut up, Ron.
Right at the top, right there.
If he was not going to miss time, I definitely would. I don't like this pick at all.
I thought that red flag next to his name was just like Boston colors, so I thought that's what that was.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, you should definitely draft him.
I'm glad you cleared that up for me. I really appreciate that, buddy.
I'm here for you, buddy.
I already hate this pick.
Zach Wheeler, who, of course, the knock on him is he might have a child to deal with here early on in the season. He said he might not come back after the birth of his child. So that is a risk, but a calculated risk, Mr. Cross.
I love the way that you put that, too, because that actually catches it like perfectly. He might have a child to deal with, so he might miss time.
Yeah. By the way, if you guys want to talk about calculated risks, get ready for who I'm about to take. Boom. There we go.
He was in my queue. Yeah. Miguel Sano. Yep.
Sure could pan out. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's essentially a Joey Gallo type.
He's a Joey Gallo type. You can talk, of course, about the lineup construction there in Minnesota as a resident Minnesota fan, but some positive news has essentially come out about him getting in the lineup recently. What I will say is Mitch Garver went right before Eric took Zach Wheeler. I was going to do that. That was number one in my queue. Nate, you've also talked about being a Mitch Garver believer. I am too. And I think even though he may not pull up as many plate appearances as a lot of players, he's still just going to crush a lot of home runs. But Miguel Sano, tell us about the Twins and Sano and whether you think that's a good idea this year.
Well, I think it's a terrific value given how much he walks, and this is an OBP league. He's kind of like the Giancarlo Stanton pick that I took, one of those swing for the fences guys. There's every chance that Miguel Sano leads the entire league in home runs this year. He is hitting, I've heard just ridiculous batting average reports or batting practice reports already this year that he's just hitting bombs, 450, like 500 feet seemingly. So he's just got mammoth raw power. It's going to be a stacked lineup, arguably the best in the league. And so the chance for runs in RBI is huge. So, it's just a tremendous upside pick here. Of course, we know the conditioning hasn't always been there. He's dealt with injuries before. He's got kind of some off-field stuff looming over his head, although right now it sounds like he's not going to be dealing with that at all this year, but that kind of waits to be seen. But I'm a big fan of that Miguel Sano pick.
As long as he can cut down on the kidnapping, he'll be okay.
Yes. Yeah. Alleged kidnapping, alleged.
Alleged, yes.
That's a hard habit to kick, man. I don't know. Who was the catcher who was Wilson Ramos? That's the one that pops into my head every time I hear. It's unfathomable to me in this day and age that we have major league adults, baseball players worth millions of dollars who get kidnapped. And it's a horrible, horrible situation. And of course, it's in countries where that just kind of happens. It's a sad, sad situation, but it's fascinating to me. It happens. And of course, that always takes my mind back to former flame-throwing closer Ugeth Urbina, who of course served jail time for trying to murder people with a flamethrower as well as a machete.
That dude was crazy. That dude was
He was nuts.
Crazy. I knew that's exactly where you're going. I don't know how I knew.
I don't know if I told this part of the story because I've mentioned this on the show before. My favorite part about that whole thing is way back when with Baseball Reference, I guess it was 10, 15 years ago, you could sponsor player pages. For example, I know I sponsored Scott Shields' player page, the former Angels reliever. He's one of my favorite players, that's just one of those weird things where you find a player you like on a team. Anyway, after all that happened, a good friend of the podcast, Brian Vaughn, as well as my other friend, Spencer Hendricks, got together and we sponsored the Ugeth Urbina page. And we wrote a write-up because you could say something like, go to our website or a clever thing. And we wrote something like, this flame-throwing reliever really cuts through the opposition. And the guy had to email us back and said, this is the funniest thing I've ever had submitted, but I absolutely can't publish this. You got to redo it.
That's great.
Okay, so this, I can already tell you right now, I'll talk some team construction.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to be making some trades. I don't have a single outfielder, and that's not a good position to be in this far in a draft this year because I think outfield's a bit murky, but that's the beauty of a trade league. What do you guys talk about your teams? How do you feel so far? Ron, what about you? We haven't heard from you in a bit.
I just took Luke Weaver as my SP3. Dude killed it down the stretch last year. I like him at that third spot. Overall, I like what I'm doing. The only thing I'm getting a little sketchy about is I'm really kind of neglecting my middle infield here, so I'm going to have to look that direction here coming up. But, of the guys that I have left here, looking at these middle infielders, it's just not a lot of guys that I'm big on. So we're going to go this route. I'm going to take my first closer off the board with Edwin Diaz at this point.
I actually kind of wanted Edwin Diaz.
I got another closer in my queue. I thought he was we're about to throw down here, Rigney. It's close.
You're obviously talking about Jose Lima, former closer of the Kansas City Royals.
He's talking about Ugeth Urbina. Get it right.
Oh, yeah, we have closers on the brain.
It was actually Eddie Guardado, Everyday Eddie.
Everyday Eddie.
Dude, I loved Eddie Guardado. That dude was like, I don't know why I liked him because, but he was just
he's a likable person.
Little round, like his head was as wide as it is long, and he was just did his job. He was pretty good at it. Wasn't elite, but he was pretty good.
Bartolo Colon of closers.
Yeah. We had a bit of a closer run there. There goes Liam Hendricks to Ben. Is that your guy? I wondered if that was it.
Of course, and it's an auto pick.
It's an auto pick, yeah. Kenley Jansen and Ken Giles both went off the board earlier. I like the Ken Giles pick because I think he's going to be a really good closer. Yeah, I was hoping for Diaz, though. Well, Nate, you're on the clock, so we'll see if you have a backup pitcher or closer in particular. I can see that Runet Odor is still out there, podcast favorite Runet Odor. Yes. So if you're so inclined, you could, of course, take him. Or, of course, Garrett Hampson, who everyone still seems to love for some reason. He's still out there.
And Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is out there as well, because you're taking the entire Jays roster. So
very true.
It was like
he's going to Rowdy Tellez.
A solid tier of closers, and Hendricks was the last one there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. The pick right in front of me, of course. So I wanted a for sure closer, so I wound up with Craig fucking Kimbrell.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with Craig Kimbrell.
I know. I feel so many headaches. Super about it.
Let's walk the bases loaded and strike out the side. You know, how many times he did that in his few years here in Boston, pissed me off to no end. Yeah, he got out of it, but it was. There was no clean 1-2-3 innings with Craig Kimbrell. Never.
The confidence is oozing from your voice with that pick, Doc, and I can tell that you like it a lot.
Well, the funny thing is, so Ben in the draft right now is just like, I was too busy typing funny things to draft. He didn't even want him. Oh, boy.
I love it.
So the question then, I was definitely going reliever up until all the good relievers disappeared. So the question is then, do I want to pump up a reliever that I think should go later because I run the risk of not getting one? I say no, simply because this is a trading league. You can trade for assets that you need. Closers do come up. I think it's important to have a closer this year, the guy, kind of capital C closer. That said, at this point in the draft, all these guys have been going about right, but this is a point where if you zig when you should zag, you could really hurt yourself. So I don't know how I'm going to do with that. Eric, I don't know what your mindset coming up was, or if you still plan on waiting on closers, or if you even have a closer. I'm not sure.
I don't. I was planning on taking one here, but literally the last guy I was even debating taking just went Nick Anderson. Barbara Streisand, get out of my freaking queue. That Barbara Streisand has taken a few of my players from my queue. But yeah, you look at the available closers here, and you know they're not inspiring. Like the next three in terms of ADP are Iglesias, Neris, and Workman. You know, it's like, yeah, I like them, but I'm not going to reach, 30-plus picks above their ADP to get them at this point.
Yeah, that was what I was dealing with as well. But at least Craig Kimbrell will get you a ton of Ks, and he has the job on lockdown, so at least there's that. Nick Anderson, kind of a question mark. You know, the Rays not really wanting to say commit that there's going to be a single guy. Yeah, so, I mean, the Rays kind of tend to mix and match anyway. But we've got Tommy Edman off the board, Jake Odorizzi, and Gavin Lux. Cross, you were tweeting about Lux earlier. He has been optioned. Surprisingly, how does that affect his value? When do we actually see him?
That's a great question. And I think it's still fairly early. Like someone asked me if they should drop him and redraft. I said, no, not yet. You know, hold on to him now. Unless you have like super shallow benches and you really, really need the spot, I would hold on to Gavin Lux just to see how this plays out. You know, if he's still up early in the season, I still think he's going to be arguably the top rookie this year, along with Van, get out of my queue. Oh, God. Hold on, now I gotta swerve. I was just like ready to take Ahmed.
I'll take over. I just went with Ahmed Rosario. I need some speed, and I still think there's a little bit of upside in that bat. It's an OBP league, which is I don't think he's quite as suited for that. But this isn't a case of Kevin Biggio is elite in OBP, whereas Ahmed Rosario is so bad in OBP. It's still kind of a wishy-washy thing. I still think it's fine enough to take him. So as you can see, I did not select a closing pitcher. We'll find out with my pick coming up here in six spots as Eric kind of considers who he wants to take since I destroyed his life.
One. Edwin Encarnacion at the buzzer.
D5.
At the buzzer. OBP format, I like it, but that's not who I wanted there.
That's a fine pick, but it's also one that no one's going to go, wow, wow.
Exactly. That's the thing with these old guys, like especially in a redraft league, OBP format. Encarnacion usually has a pretty good OBP, lots of power, and a phenomenal lineup. We saw what they can do the other day when they teed off on Darvish. So I think he's going to be really good OBP, home runs, RBIs, runs. Obviously, he doesn't give you any speed. I already had a first baseman, so he'll slot in at my corner infield slot. But at this point, this is another to shore up the power here, even though I already have a good amount of power already, but I like it.
All right, Sean Doolittle goes off the board after E5, and then Kenta Maeda and Mike Miner go at the 9-10 turn. And Brandon Workman, another closer off the board there, and it's back to Mr. Cross. I really like that Kenta Maeda pick as well. I was really eyeballing him. Maybe it's just my homerism showing through, but I think he can be a very effective pitcher at this point, you know, in round 10.
It's worth noting, too, that WWG1WGA, everyone's favorite clever yes. team name, states, "I'll bring you a turd in a brown paper bag." That is what he says in our chat. So.
And I have no, and the thing is, you don't know who it's directed towards. Like, I have no idea what he's doing. So tell him that, too. Maybe it's all of us. I don't know. That's by far the best line of the draft.
There you go. Eric takes his first closer with Raisel Iglesias. I'm going to do the same. And I'm glad you didn't take the one I went after. I'm going Hector Neris. I think he's a little bit underrated this year. So
I was debating.
I'm not happy with mine. I'm sure you're happy with yours.
Yeah, those are the two. I was just like, whatever, pick one.
All right. So that's all the closers that are ever going to be this season. So I guess we'll just look elsewhere if we need saves. Yeah, looking at guys right now.
But just wait a week and St. Louis will have a new closer.
Well, that's true. I was going to touch on that. So there's four guys right now that Fantrax has projected for double-digit saves. Archie Bradley, Ian Kennedy, Giovanni Gallegos, and Hansel Robles. But, of course, Gallegos is supposedly not going to be the closer, according to manager Mike Schilt. It's going to be Kwanyeon Kim. So I don't know if he's going to be coming off the board anytime soon. But
oh, did they announce Kim's definitely the closer? I heard he was just going to the bullpen last.
So he said, yep.
Wow, much, interesting. Yeah. Also, I think he should have been in the rotation, but we'll see how Carlos Martinez does in that role. Could be great because it's a shorter season, or it could be Carlos Martinez and something comes up and, I don't know, he watches too much porn or who knows, and he doesn't really adhere to the role.
Yeah, his shoulder and his elbow are always so so worn out. I don't know why. But
it's not because he's a pitcher and he does things that the human body should not do. It's other porn-related reasons.
definitely porn. All right, so we've got...
Somebody definitely needs to change your team name to other porn-related reasons.
Kind of some bland pitchers coming off the board now. Sean Manaea, Herman Marquez. Any strong opinions on those guys? Marquez a little bit...
You watch your mouth about any in-state graduate, Sean Manaea.
I won't, because I'm gonna diss Sean Manaea as much as I want. He doesn't strike anyone out. Yep. Why would you want the guy who doesn't strike anyone? I'm talking like 6 K per 9. I know he got better, but I don't buy it one bit. So he was kind of trending at the end of last year when he came back and he was throwing well and he threw really, really well. I don't buy it over even this partial full season. No thanks.
He just has a special place in my heart. So
I might be doing something real dumb.
Love it.
We'll see. I've got a ways to go. We'll see if said player is still there. But yeah, it's getting kind of funky. I like this draft. It's interesting, but there's a lot of stuff going on here for sure. Byron Buxton's still out there, Nate.
Yes,
Dylan Bundy. You mean the Angels number 2 starter, as they've announced, I believe.
Yeah. Let's see.
So recent picks, Justin Turner went off the board. You mentioned Dylan Bundy. Yuli Gurriel, nice little batting average hitter. Maybe the power's still there. We'll see. Hansel Robles just went off the board. I was hoping he would kind of fall back to me because it's another relief pitcher I think you can buy in. Now, the negative to that is the Angels have a pretty rough schedule. Who knows how many games they win. Trout misses time. That really hurts the team. Rendon is currently hurt. He should be fine after missing a day or two. He might even be back by open day. Either way, it's kind of questionable. But I still like Robles' talent level. Then Carlos Martinez, the aforementioned Carlos Martinez. J.D. Davis just went off the board. You're coming up, Nate. Do you have a couple of players you really like here?
I do. And let's see. So J.D. Davis was one of them that I was thinking about. So naturally, he just went. I do. You mentioned Byron Buxton. He is in consideration for me. You know, guy, he already has been nicked up, but supposedly he's going to be good for opening day. Turned out to be just a mid-foot sprain. And I am on the clock. So you know what? Oh, gosh.
Go Vogelbach, you know you want to.
well,
Ronan Grizz.
I've
basically been his nutritionist all summer. I know what he's been putting in his body. It's straight.
The answer is protein, right?
It's 100% protein, which equals 100% bombs. You know you want to do this.
I went with his brother from another mother, Luke Voigt, who's like,
I was just thinking that another hefty first base.
Yeah, kind of the same guy on a different team, but he happens to be on the Yankees and he walks a hell of a lot. So, well, with Luke Voigt there, a guy who I was pretty wrong on a year ago, he was a little more consistent than I thought he would be. Still, a couple of guys that I'm really excited about here in my queue. So, those Geraldo'd prospects, that team, they better not take who I want here.
Well, I'm not excited about anybody in my queue, so I don't know what I'm going to do here.
Okay.
Then he is on the clock, so Ron will wow us with whoever he selects. Willie Calhoun.
Wow.
Just went big Willie style. There he goes. Oh, what did you just do, Ron? Did you just do this?
Wow. Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, I had to put that on there simply because of, well, Ron. Pitching's interesting at this point. There are a lot of names I really like and a lot of names that I'm looking at the ADP here and I go, what? Really? No thanks. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out going forward. What do I have? Three pitchers, two starters. Probably about time for me to get another starting pitcher, even though I like my top two. But we'll see. Ron, you went with David Dahl, who is a player I was going to take as well. Kind of questionable as far as if he can ever really hold it together in a short season. Maybe he can. And I don't know if you're confident of that or you just went with upside.
It's a little bit of both. I just think if for my fourth outfielder at this point, you know, in a shortened season, hopefully he can stay healthy for 40 to 50 games of it and give me a handful of steals and a handful of bombs and cores.
Willie Calhoun, by the way, would have been in consideration for me if not for coming into the season with an injury already anyway, a strain of some nature. I can't remember exactly where it was. Of course, he was going to miss the beginning of the normal season because he got hit in the face with a baseball and broke his jaw. And now he's going to miss the beginning of the second season anyway due to some kind of strain.
I wonder if it just ever pans out for the guy. Just seems like something goes wrong, whether it's lineup related, whether it's injury related, just something seems to happen. And of course he got hurt in summer training by, what was it, getting hit in the face or something like that? He got hit in the face with a baseball, so that's kind of fluky. You can't necessarily say, well, that's going to happen a lot, but kind of rough there. Let's see, Joe Musgrove, Justin Upton, Brandon Lowe. You took or is it Lowe? Is he Lowe? No, it's Nate Lowe, Brandon Lowe. Ron, you know, Brandon Lowe.
Backwards. Nate Lowe, Brandon Lowe.
They're both worthless. No, I'm kidding. Well,
since I picked him, you're probably right. No, I got to get at least one Ray, and there's a couple other Rays I got here on my queue, but I'm reaching for them a little bit. But I said a little bit ago I wanted to address that middle infield, that second, third base shortstop, so I got him for my second base eligibility. Not super great in LBP, but good enough that I think that he's not going to hurt me there, and he's going to drive in some runs, and I think he's going to get some at-bats, hit a few homers. So I think he's pretty useful there in your middle infield.
We've got people threatening me with not checking their mailbox because I took their pick, and that is just uncalled for. That's a step over the line as far as I'm concerned. That's WWG1WGA.
That's like insulting your manhood. You can't insult a mailman by saying you missed part of your route or whatever, unless it's Newman, in which case you do it all the time.
You could deeply offended.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave my red flag up, but I'm not going to have anything in there.
Whoa.
Oh, come on.
Came off the board. Chris Davis, Andrew Haney. So a couple of interesting picks there. I like Haney. He would have been in consideration for me if he would have come back around. Although there are a couple other pitchers I really like here as well.
Yeah, I strongly considered going pitching, but there just isn't a whole lot of guys that stand out to me right now. So far, my rotation consists of Luis Castillo, Lance McCullers Jr., and Craig Kimbrell, and that is it. I've gone with bats the entire rest of the way. So I've got some catching up to do on the pitching side, but I went with Chris Davis there. I just think that as long as he's healthy, he is a candidate to lead the league in home runs. Of course, not great, even in an OBP league, not great in a batting average league, not great in an OBP league either. But at this point, you know, in the 11th round, I think that's pretty solid value.
Not too shabby. We also had, let's see, Malik Smith went next. Even though he's that one category guy, you can actively hurt you elsewhere, depending on how your stolen bases look. Could be an okay decision. Paul DeJong, Dylan Cease came off the board, and then Ryan McMahon, no chance in hell himself, Ryan McMahon.
and somewhere Jake Devereaux is turning over in his grave.
What do you guys think about Dylan Cease coming into the show?
I was just going to bring him up. I barely have him within my top 100. He's at 95 for me this week. I just have to see him put it together a little bit more. That command is just not there. And I'm afraid that he's just going to get smoked again. So taking a wait and see approach with Cease right now. I love the stuff, but I don't think it's going to come together this year.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Like you mentioned, the command, you know, you get the big curveball, the fastball velocity is there, but that fastball command has not been there. The changeup's been inconsistent as well. So the stuff is still there for, you know, long term. I'm still kind of on him and in dynasty, at least for a little bit, not as much as I used to be, but for redraft, there's too much. His floor is so low, and I just can't go. The upside does not match the floor, so I can't go with him, not this early at least.
Can't necessarily argue with that. Josh James came off the board. It's important to mention his name because Baker, or whoever it was in the Astros organization, did say that he will be, I believe, the fifth starter. Like it was just like a casual drop. It was like, well, we're going to go this guy, this guy, this guy. Oh, and Josh James will be starting too. So that was kind of surprising to hear. I guess that's interesting in the shortened season. Ron, you own Josh James in a dynasty league, the prestigious dynasty league. How do you feel about this news?
I'm really hoping for big things considering I traded Shane Bieber for him about 2 years ago. So, I still think that the talent is there. I still think that they can use him. I still think they need to give him a shot at it. He hasn't really had that big of an audition in the rotation. And I still think that he throws gas. I think he can be a nice little compliment as a mid rotation guy. So I still am on the Josh James bandwagon, not just because I made arguably a bad trade for him, but I still think he can pan out to be something in that rotation for sure. I think he can be very useful.
Arguably. But yeah, with Urquidy being away from the team for undisclosed reasons right now, definitely leaves the door wide open. I was hoping that, you know, Forrest Whitley might get a shot, but it sounds like that shot is going to come later than sooner. Giovanni Gallegos goes off the board despite the announcement of Kim potentially, well, I mean, he said that he was going to be the closer to start the season. So we'll see how long he takes the job and can keep it. But Gallegos goes before him in this draft. Anyway, we had Nomar Mazara going off the board. Brian Reynolds, Byron Buxton to Van, Archie Bradley to Eric Cross, who's in my queue. Joey Votto there. So what do you guys make of that run?
Happy to take Buxton there. I was hoping he would fall to me. There's a chance for quite a few stolen bases and a lot of upside. I don't necessarily buy it. I don't necessarily believe it, but I think with the team I've constructed so far, I need to take a few risks, and I think that's a risk that could really, really pay off. Archie Bradley, he's a closer. That's totally fine. Votto, I just really don't want a whole lot to do with, but this is still an OBP league, and even if Joey Votto hits one home run this season, which might still be one more than he should because he just can't hit anymore, he's still going to take a lot of walks. So there's reason to say there's some value in that pick. And then Hunter Dozier just came off the board at pick 187.
Boy, these names are ugly.
I was going to take Bucks. I knew you were probably taking him, Vans. I was hoping you were looking somewhere else. But yeah, I was hoping Bucks would fall. That's a good pick.
Well, I kind of did the shifty eyes thing when Nate was like, oh, Buxton, I was thinking about taking him. Like, don't say that. I'm actually about the point where I'm ready to take him.
Well, you had mentioned it before I did, so I figured it was okay.
It's never okay, Dawkin. You need to figure this out.
My bad, Doug.
Texas Croissant goes off the board.
There we go. Oh, Lorenzo Cain. I was hoping he would fall a little more, too.
I'm going to go a little bit off the board here, but...
Oh, Sam Hilliard. I just watched him strike out on three pitches, I believe, before we came down here to record this.
Well, he is a quad A hitter, so we'll see how it works out.
He's got hopefully the opportunity anyway.
Exciting player in the history of ever, which is Adam Eaton, but it's an OBP league and he can do that pretty well. Who knows, short season he might get a full season. But Eric, tell us about Sam Hilliard. You've talked a lot about liking him this year. What would you predict his line is?
You know, I think he'll be somewhere hitting around 250 to 260. He can walk a little bit though, so the OBP should be all right. You know, last year between AAA and the majors, he combined for 42 home runs, 24 steals. You can tell I've talked about that before, so I know those numbers are off the top of my head. Power's been trending up. You know, really, he had a down year power-wise in 2018 in AA, but that was in the Eastern League. That happens a lot. It's a pitcher-friendly league, a lot of cold-weather stadiums. So I think he could be, you know, 25 homer pace, add in 10 to 15 steals. I think that power speed, good lineup, you know, OBP should be solid. I think that's – I like it around, you know, right here near pick 200.
Well, and at pick 200, too. this is the part in the draft where your selections aren't going to kill you. If you get a zero out of it, it's not the worst thing in the world. So this is the time that you can really take those big risks for players that you expect to pan out or could pan out, i.e. your Buxtons, your Hilliards, you know, guys like that who could win you a league, because if they produce, you know, 50th overall value or third round value, that's a huge boon. So it's worth keeping an eye on that. Looks like Marcus Stroman went after I took Eaton, Danny Santana finally off the board, and then Ross Stripling went next. Stripling going right in that rotation with some of those Dodgers moves that they've made recently. Nate, you're coming up, I think, next of all of us. Nope, we've got, yeah, Nate coming up next of all of us. So where are you leaning with this pick?
Pitching. I have amassed quite a cavalcade of solid bats that I feel good about. I've just got one utility slot, three outfield slots, corner and middle infield to fill there. So I've got a whole bunch of pitching in my queue that I feel pretty solid about. One of them just went there in Mark Melancon as a closer, but definitely going to try to balance this team out a little bit. Plenty of names that I still like a lot here.
I have a strong feeling you're going to snipe me here.
Think so?
Yes.
Nate is known as a mailman to have sniper rifles on hand for when inevitably he snaps and starts picking people off at the clock tower, which I'm sure your town has a clock tower for that reason.
That's right. Yeah. But I only use it on people who put up their red flag and then don't have any mail in the box. So most people are all right.
Maybe I'll snap that flag off.
I might shoot it off.
Ooh, there goes Will Smith coming off the board. Haha, getting jiggy with it, of course.
The catching version. How excited are you that there are two Will Smiths in baseball, Van?
I mean, it's pretty great. I mean, this is what a time to be alive. I'll put it that way. If only they were on the same team. McCutcheon went off the board. Chu went off the board. Peralta, Rich Hill, Christian Walker.
Nice Vanley, Vanley favorite Eric Hosmer went off the board as well.
Oh, yeah, yes. That's exactly what he is. Pick 195. Hey, he's got a job for some stupid reason. I guess there's something about that.
Money.
Yeah. What a bad contract that was and is.
It gets overshadowed by like the Pujols contract and stuff like that, but that was equally as bad. Because Hosmer has never, like Pujols at least was doing good, you know, beginning of that contract. Maybe he doesn't live up to it, but at least he was hitting like 40 bombs at the beginning of that. Hosmer just doesn't do anything.
Well, and you could argue if you wanted that, hey, Pujols puts butts in the seat because he's a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. That's not Eric Hosmer, even remotely. So you can't make that argument at all.
What do you mean he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Hey, if he has 10 more years where he hits like he's never hit before, then maybe he can really lean into that.
If he turns into, you know, St. Louis version of Albert Pujols in the last
yes, half of his exactly. career,
they kind of just flip flop. Ooh, Mitch Keller is a good pick.
He's on my queue as well. Nate, I know you love Mitch Keller.
Yeah, and he was going to be my next pick, but
I debated him last pick.
Yeah. Still some other pitchers in my queue that I like, but not as much as Mitch Keller. Love the upside there. Did manage to get Rich Hill the last time around, pick 201. I feel pretty solid about that as long as he can stay healthy.
It was a great pitcher in this shortened season. You know, he was the dandy of week one of TGFBI fab runs there. He went for $665 in my league or something like that. But yeah, he's great in the shortened season. If he can stay healthy, the per inning ratio should be pretty good.
There we go. So I am going to go with Sandy Alcantara here. Put up a surprising amount of numbers last year, and I think that he's better than his numbers would indicate. And this is a league where you don't have to worry about wins. It's innings pitched instead. So I don't care that the Miami Marlins are going to be horrible. I feel like Alcantara can take a nice step forward this year.
Not a shabby little pick there.
Yeah, Ian Kennedy goes off the board. I was considering him as well, thinking about fortifying my saves, but decided to go with the starter instead. Masahiro Tanaka goes off the board, starting the season on the IL after taking that comebacker off the head. Very scary, but it sounds like he'll be back in the second week of the season. So Francisco Gregory will not be missing too terribly much from Tanaka there. So this is probably the last round that we're going to cover here. Van Eric, what are you guys looking at here for your last picks?
I'll go first. I still need a couple outfielders. I only have two on my board, so that's a position I'm leaning pretty heavily into. There are some catchers I like on the board, but I'm afraid if I don't get one of them, it's going to be a zero at the position for where I have end up taking. So I have to really look deeply into that. And then, like you were, Nate, I'm sitting on three pitchers, Strasburg, Giolito, and Hector Neris. So I need to lean pretty heavily on pitching here. The interesting thing about this league being innings pitched is that that really kind of adds some funkiness to it. So suddenly these starters who do put up a bunch of innings will have quite a bit of value just because of that. So that's something we need to keep in mind as we go along here. And we're also probably at the point in the draft where we might see some prospect runs come along. Some of those big names, like we've got Joe Adele still out there, a couple other guys. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out too.
Yeah, I was going to attack, you know, third base, shortstops. I still need those two spots. Still get middle infield as well. But, you know, third base and shortstop, you know, pool right now looks like hot garbage. The one guy I was looking at, Didi Gregorius, just went to South Milwaukee Apologists. Just kind of hoping I like him in that ballpark and that good lineup. Yep. Good power source there. So now I might go another pitcher here. Michael Chavis just went, even though he's not the starter. Jose Peraza will be the starting second baseman in Boston. So I think Chavis will probably back up both Mitch Moreland and Peraza there, but won't get enough time to make an impact though.
All right. So as those picks are coming up, let's kind of try to recap who we've drafted so far, how we're feeling about our team so far. Ron, since you're at the other end, why don't you kick us off there?
All right, so as it sits now, my last pick off the board got Omar Narvez there from Milwaukee. I think that's an underrated ad for the Brewers. I think he's a nice value here. Didn't feel like he'd be back here when it comes back to me. So I've got him at catcher, Matt Olson at first, Brandon Lowe at second, third and short. Don't have anybody there yet. Of course, I got corner infield Pete Alonso, middle infield nobody. I've got Yelich, Robles, Mercado, and David Dahl as my outfielders. Need one more there. Need two utilities on the pitching side of it. Jose Berríos, Max Fried, Luke Weaver as my three starters so far. Edwin Diaz to lock up some saves. And then I took a flyer on Joe Jimenez in Detroit as being the closer. Could give me a few saves there. They're not going to be very good, so it's going to have to be a lot of low-scoring games. But hopefully he can get in there and get me a few in a 60-game season.
There you go. And while Van and Eric are making their final selections, I'll go over my team here. We've got Gary Sanchez, Luke Voit, and Giancarlo Stanton. I didn't realize. I guess I'm going with some stacks here. Playing a little DFS.
Blue Jays and Yankees.
In the long season. Yeah, going Blue Jays and Yankees. And if on the bat side, I mean, it is up to me. It was my decision, so that's why I did it. But, I mean, the East Coast, I mean, that's going to have, or the Eastern Divisions are going to have a lot more hitters' parks. I think the balls are going to be flying around quite a bit there. So having guys like Sanchez, Voit, Giancarlo Stanton, I think it's going to be pretty great. Kevin Biggio at second base, Vlad Guerrero at third, Francisco Lindor at short, Starling Marte and Giancarlo in the outfield, Chris Davis at utility. And on the pitching side, I've got Luis Castillo, Lance McCullers, Craig Campbell, Rich Hill, and Sandy Alcantara. So definitely going to be playing catch-up on the pitching side. Pitching went super fast in this league, and I just wanted to go with the premier bats first. So I'm going to definitely be hitting pitching pretty hard and have to do some streaming probably to keep up with it. So overall, I feel okay about this. I definitely don't feel like I have crushed this draft, but I think in a 17-team league, that's pretty hard to do. So Cross, let's go to you. Looks like you went with Nate Pearson. We were just talking about how we might see a little bit of a prospect run here. So Nate Pearson and then Mike Foltynewicz. So talk about those picks a little bit and how you feel about your team as a whole.
Yeah, there's some risk here. I had a couple of risky picks. I think I like my pitching staff if Wheeler's there. You know, I got from my pitchers Walker Buehler, Corey Kluber, Zach Wheeler, Pearson, and Folty as my starters so far, and Iglesias and Bradley as my closers. I'm okay with that so far. Obviously, it would really help if Wheeler stayed, you know, was playing this year. We'll see. On the hitting side of things, my infield needs some work. Like I mentioned, I still need third base, shortstop, and middle infield. So at this point, the options are so weak. I'm going to wait. I'll attack that next time around. I got four outfielders I'm really happy with. You know, kind of Van mentioned outfield, how it gets kind of, you know, murky pretty quick. You know, I've said that same thing many times on my podcast as well. I like a couple of top options. I did that with Judge and Meadows. I think Pham is great at his value. Hilliard, you know, if I don't get the top guys, I kind of skip the middle, go to the end. So I like Hilliard there. And hopefully Freddie Freeman is, you know, good. You know, and he could be, you know, elite Freddie Freeman. I need him to be my number two pick. I love Hiria to continue his ascension up towards the elite ranks this year. Good average and, you know, power bat as well. Give me a little speed. I think I need a little more speed. I only have a couple of guys I can get. Chip, give me some steals here. So maybe I'll get some, you know, bigger speed guys, you know, later on. But overall, I'm happy. Not in love with this team, but I'm happy with it.
And my team, I've got Jose Abreu at first, Mike Moustakas, Jose Ramirez, Manny Machado, Miguel Sano, Ahmed Rosario, Byron Buxton, Adam Eaton, and Nelson Cruz on the offensive side. On the pitching side, I've taken a couple more guys recently. So I've got Steven Strasburg, Lucas Giolito, Hector Neris, John Gray, and Kwang-Hyun Kim of the Cardinals. Decided to toss a flyer out there on Kim. I don't necessarily know that he's going to be the closer long term, but I do think he'll weasel his way into the rotation, if nothing else. I think he's going to put up some decent innings. We've got offensively, I started out maybe not as strong as I would like with Jose Ramirez and who's my second one? Nelson Cruz was up there. Anyway, offensively, it didn't start out as strong as I like. I think I've built an okay offense here. I've got some dice rolls with Miguel Sano, Byron Buxton. I'm okay with it. Either way, I'll probably need to put a little bit of work into that. Pitching wise, I'm kind of shocked because I started out super strong, taking Strasburg and Giolito early, and then waited and waited and waited. But Hector Neris, I think, is going to be a really good closer. I think John Gray is criminally underrated at times. Can't rely on a whole lot of elite ERA, but I think he can be right around four, and he'll pitch a lot of innings, in my opinion. And then Kim, like I said, that's a bit of a dart throw. So going forward in the draft, I'm going to get some more surefire pitching that I maybe am a little bit more confident in. I'm going to do a lot of trading because I don't love this team as it is, but I have enough pieces that I think I can make some moves that I will like.
All right. Well, this is a fun venture. Thanks for everybody who decided to play with us. And, you know, maybe we'll even have the winner on an end of season interview on the podcast. Hopefully we have a fun season. Hopefully, you know, everything works out as planned. I'm really excited. You know, it finally seems like everything's coming together. It's finally here. We're doing a real draft. So I can't wait for the start of the season on Thursday and then to watch a whole slew of games on Friday. It's going to be great. So enjoy the mad dash, everyone, with your last minute drafts. And of course, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.